If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 8. I share this just in reference to what we are about to celebrate, and obviously some people have gotten an early start. We've heard in the news how people have gotten busted for having illegal fireworks, and we've also, well, anybody that pays attention, and then we've also heard them ourselves, whether it be gunshots or whether it be fireworks, that, you know, they're just starting. They were doing it last night and early this morning. You know, somebody was up early, couldn't wait, I guess. July 4th will be here, but this is the 1st of July. This is the first day of the second half of 2018, which is a year that has been themed crowning achievements and surpassing victories. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but I've seen some crowning achievements and some surpassing victories, and I'm rejoicing. And I'm looking forward and excited about what's to happen over these next 6 months. Hallelujah. So as we get ready to celebrate our nation's independence once again, annually we do this, being loosed and freed from British rule and tyranny under one of the kings. I think his name was King George III or somebody like that. I forget exactly. But our founding fathers saw that we were being mistreated as a nation. And it was just unfair. You can read the Declaration of Independence and see the list that they lined out line by line, their argument or their case against British rule and tyranny. And they decided that they were going to break free from them, declare their independence. But the thing of it is that they weren't just doing this in their own strength and might, because they were inferior to all of the other adversaries, if you will, or those who would oppose them for wanting their freedom. In your bulletin, you'll see I quoted, and I wasn't sure who had initially made the quote. The first one I heard ever quoted was my pastor, Pastor Rod Parsley. And he said, you know, freedom is never given or voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. Oppressors want to continue to oppress people, keep them in bondage, if you will, not allow them to explore and experience the freedom and liberties that we have as people. And the only way for them to get set free is to demand that, because the oppressor is not just going to one day say, oh, you know what, you ought to be free, unless God will put it in their hearts. But because they're operating in the spirit of oppression, they are operating under the king, or I shouldn't call him a king, take that back, the prince of darkness, the spirit that rules in the hearts of those who are disobedient towards God. That darkness is what causes people to do some of the most vile, wicked things in the history of mankind, even till today. I hope that made sense to you. Darkness ruled from the time of the fall of Adam and Eve. Darkness was always around since the fall of Satan, but it began to rule and dominate since the fall of Adam and Eve in the earth. Even though Satan was in the earth when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them dominion, authority, and rule. He told them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. That means he gave them power even over the power of the adversary. But the adversary deceived Eve and got Adam to willfully transgress against God. And then instead of man ruling over the darkness, man became subject to the darkness. And this is why we see so much wickedness in its various forms. It all comes back to the sin, the original sin that took place with Adam and Eve. Then there came Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. the light of the world, King of all kings and Lord of all lords, born as a babe in a manger, a virgin birth. He had no earthly father, if you will, although Joseph was considered his earthly father. His father, Jesus' father, was God in heaven. It was God's sperm that was implanted into the womb of the Virgin Mary, who had never known or touched a man. Thus, in the conversation with the angel Gabriel, how shall this thing be to me, seeing that I know not a man? In other words, I have not been intimately acquainted with a man. So how in the world am I going to conceive and give birth to this Savior that you're talking about? And Gabriel explicitly, plainly explains to her how this is going to happen. He says, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The power of the highest is going to overshadow you. And that thing, that holy thing on the inside of you, shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. The offspring of Daddy, but not just the offspring, the very seed, the very Son of God, relationally as well as just naturally. So, Jesus didn't have the same kind of rebellious, disobedient, proud, arrogant spirit and nature that we have, that we inherited from Adam. Jesus had the very nature of God in him. God wrapped up in flesh. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus starts preaching his message. We're just going to pick up one of those messages in John chapter 8, if you'll turn with me. And when you get there, say amen. And if you need more time, say hold up. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll put it on the screen for you. Hallelujah. We're just that kind. Today we won't tell you to go home and get your Bible and come back. So John chapter 8. When you get there, say amen. We'll begin at verse 31. Hallelujah. We're not going to be very long today. It's a great day. And by the way, excuse me, we have a guest with us for the very first time. And we do like to recognize and honor our guests. We don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. We want to make them feel loved and welcomed. So would you kindly welcome with me, I believe I'll read this right, and if I don't, I can be corrected. Christina Valentino, is that correct? All right, welcome in Jesus' wonderful, awesome, mighty name. She is invited by Sister Sandra, and we thank you, Sister Sandra, for going out and inviting others, and we thank you for being here with us today, Christina. If you have any questions concerning the ministry, why we worship the way we do, or anything like that, what's said across this pulpit, don't hesitate to ask us, because we're not ashamed of what we do and what we believe. Hallelujah. We love Jesus with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we know that he's got some good things in store for you today. That's why he had you come our way. Amen. All right, so are we there? John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. All right. Everybody say, then Jesus said. Okay, well, maybe it says, then said Jesus, but it's the same thing. Okay. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him. The Jews were simply the citizens of Judea, connected to God through the covenant relationship that God established with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There were 12 tribes, and the tribes were scattered and dispersed. But the Jews assembled in the region of Judea, and that's why they're called Jews. Learn that from Benjamin Netanyahu. He says, the reason we're called Jews is because we're from Judea. And I'm like, that makes a lot of sense. Praise God. Because otherwise they'd be known as the Hebrews. But they're called Jews. And these were the people who believed in God, had the commandments, the oracles, the word of God. So Jesus is telling the Jews which believed in him, because there were those who did not believe in him. So actually, he's speaking to people who believe in him, which means he's speaking to us today as well. So the Bible is not just to those who were around in that day, and all we do is get to read stories about them. The Word of God is written to us as well. We are them now, whether we believe in God or whether we don't believe in God. If we believe in God, it is personally to us. If we don't believe in God, it is written for us that we may get to know God and build and establish a relationship with him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Amen. So this word is to us and this word is for us. It's for the believer. So Jesus says to them who believe, that's what the scripture says. And then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, if ye or you, this is King James translation. I like the King James. I like the these and the thous and the shalt nots and the shalls. I like that kind of language. It's easier to memorize other than these other translations that translate things into our everyday lifestyle. That's to help our understanding. But in memorization, boy, there's nothing like the King James. It just sticks. I see a vision of just throwing something against the wall and it just sticks. If ye continue in my word, in other words, if you abide in it, if you continue, if you remain in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. This is something that many in the body of Christ, and I've shared it before, it's worthy of repeating right now, many in the body of Christ fail to do. We can get people to the point of receiving Jesus, but getting them to get into God's word and continue in God's word, that's a whole different thing. Because as people, generally, most of us don't like to read. It is said, there's a saying out there, if you don't want somebody to know something, put it in writing. Why? Because people don't like to read. Now, God, in initially trained us to hear. It was God's voice that was spoken to those of old, even Adam and Eve in the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord coming to them in the cool of the day. So if God is speaking, we're supposed to be listening and hearing. Then it got to a point where God was telling them, write these things down. Why? For generations to come. So God doesn't have to constantly repeat himself over things that he's already said, because what he says will never change. God and his word are one. You can't separate the two. People might try and do that with their interpretations of what he says, but God and his word are one. What he said is what he means. Amen. The Bible says this about its own self, and that is by way of the Holy Spirit, his unction, his anointing upon those who wrote and those who spoke. And Peter was one who says, there is no scripture of any private interpretation. But God, by way of the Holy Ghost, moved upon men in order to speak his word. Meaning these men were voluntarily accosted, arrested under the influence and power of the Holy Ghost as they are speaking and as they are writing things down. God inspired is what Paul told Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration, by unction of God. All scripture is given and is written for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped and ready to do every good work. God told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, what you've seen is correct. I watch over, or I hasten my word to perform it. God watches over his word that he has spoken to make sure that it comes to pass. He can't lie. Whatever he says is what happens. And if God says something that didn't happen, it would have to happen because God said it. He knows the end from the beginning. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. You are sacred. You made it through the womb. You ought to give God thanks for that. You shouldn't be so miserable in life that you forget the fact that God saw fit that you would come forth and not somebody else in your place. Be grateful for that. Some of us who barely made it. What do you mean by that? Well, our parents probably had given up, or parents probably said, that's enough kids. And they didn't have any intentions on having any more kids, and you got through. Praise God. You know, if there's 5 years between the last time your mother had a baby and then you coming, I'm speaking about me personally, but I'm not, you know, somebody else might be there too. If there's a gap between the last child and the child before them, usually that's an indication that they're done having children. And you just got here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So you're thankful for your life. I'm thankful that William and Ernestine Killings had that one birthday celebration. How do you know it was a birthday celebration? Because I was born June 23rd. My daddy's birthday is September the 22nd. He's now gone. But my daddy's birthday is September 22nd. September to June, 9 months. God saw fit. Give him another son. So, I'm thankful and grateful that I'm here and I'm alive. And each and every one of us ought to be grateful. So we're here in this earth. And for many of us, we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. Not just Savior, so that when we die, we can go to heaven. But Lord, so that we can live and glorify him in the earth. Jesus is like this. He's very open, transparent. Why do you call me Lord if you don't do what I tell you to do? To him, it's like, it makes no sense. If you're going to call me Lord, then that means what I tell you to do is what you do. Because Lord is another word for master. And we're not calling him Lord because he's master over all of these people. We call him Lord because he's master over this people. Praise God. Amen. Now, how many of you believe Jesus is Lord? All right, yeah. Well, he's Lord. You can just put your hand on your head or something, but he's Lord over this house, over this temple, over this body. Yeah. And so I declare him to be Lord because he's Lord of my life. And he's like, okay, you're going to call me Lord. Then you got to do what I tell you to do. It's not, it's one thing if Jesus was putting us in bondage. But Jesus is not putting us in bondage. This is what we're going to see in the scriptures. He's bringing us to freedom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. See, that sinful nature of man, that rebellious nature, it hates to be told what to do. It is a resistant. It's got resistance built in its DNA. Resist authority. Resist powers. Resist. With Jesus, it's like, have your way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Hallelujah. So goes the old hymnals that had power, had meaning, impact. So Jesus said to those who believe, if ye continue in my word, abide, take up residence in, read it, study it, meditate upon it, digest it, live it out, walk it out, work it out, talk it out. Then are ye my disciples indeed. Disciples, a disciplined follower of a teacher. We can't claim to be, Brother Joseph, disciples of Christ if we're going to live our own life. That's not a disciple. That's a deceiver. First deceiving themselves and then deceiving others that they may tell I'm a disciple of Christ when I'm actually doing my own thing. So he says, then are ye my disciples But it doesn't stop there. Because, again, we don't want, naturally, the sinful nature of man don't want nobody having no control over their life. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. Nobody tells me what to do. That's built in the sinful nature. I'm not going to be a pawn. I'm not going to be nobody's slave. I'm not going to be nobody this. Nobody going to be telling me what to do. This is my life. I live it like I want to. I do what I want. I come when I want. I go when I want. I say what I want. I do anything I want to. And you had nothing to do with coming into this earth with that mindset. I've said it before, but it's worthy of repeating. Who had a say-so in them coming? Before you came into existence, did you tell your mom to go meet your dad and the two of them come together and be intimate so that you could come forth? No, you came by design, the plan and purpose of God. You are here for a reason, and you're here to make a difference. Hallelujah. You can give God praise if you want to. Amen. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, intricately, wonderfully made by God. He knew me when I was in my mother's womb. Hallelujah. Fashioned him and brought him forth. That's what the word says concerning us. David said, in sin, my mother conceived, and I'll paraphrase, conceived and gave birth to me. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Now, here's the thing. He says, and ye shall know the truth. Yeah. Because we don't want our lives built and based on lives. We do not, let me say that right. We don't want our lives, L-I-V-E-S, to be built and based on lies, L-I-E-S. We want our lives to be built on truth. Truth as a foundation, as the basis for our living. And Jesus comes and says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. Why? Because the truth is in my word. He tells us where the truth is. Jesus said to the disciples, he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is what we want to build our lives on. It was Pilate who said, what is truth? Jesus didn't answer him, but he asked the question, what is truth? But in his high priestly prayer, he said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart with the truth. Thy word is truth. When he speaks of the Holy Ghost, he says, the Spirit of truth. So we don't want to build our lives on a lie, because that will be very costly and great consequences as a result. We want our lives built and based on truth. Jesus reveals to us what is truth. God is a God of truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus says, I'm the way and the truth. Sanctify them with your word. Your word is truth. That word that we continue in, we abide in, we live by, we speak, we do, because it's based on truth and not a lie. Now, Jesus tells us how lies entered into the world. This worldly system, this earthly planet that we are on, how did lies enter in? It's the father of lies who's the source of lies. Jesus said about him, he was a liar from the beginning, and there is no truth in him. So where do lies come from? Lies come from the devil. He's the father, Jesus says this, he's the father of lies. So when that boy tells you how much he loves you and he takes advantage of you and then he leaves you and dumps you, he did what to you? And guess where that came from? when that girl says to you she loves you, she wants to be with you, and then you find her wrapped in the arms of some other man, she to you. Those are just some illustrations we can relate to. But there are many others in which people lie. In our court system, we have what's called lie detector tests. Whether they use it on the jobs or they use it in the court systems, the reason they do that is to find out if people are telling the truth or not. Because after all, we want the truth. When we go and we swear in, do you swear that the testimony that you are about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Am I making my case? Truth is important. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So the truth is in God's word. This is why it is so important, not just to hear it, because if hearing alone was good enough, God would have never said, write this down. Why? To pass off to generations to come. And God told Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. This very word, this treasure that we have, Paul described it as this, hidden treasure in earthen vessels. The glorious gospel and counsel of Jesus Christ. Hidden treasure in earthen vessels. Where does it get hidden? David said, thy word. Ah, praise God. I get excited. You could get excited too. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That word. Yeah. So we have this treasure because the word of God is like gold and like silver. You don't just get it off of the surface. You can't just surface this thing through. That was me on a, not a skateboard, but that was me on a surfboard. I was surfing out in the Pacific Ocean, and Jaws was after me. That's why I don't go in those kind of waters. You hear about people. This lady, Jess, she was feeding sharks in Australia somewhere. She was feeding sharks. Who does that? On a boat, she's feeding sharks, and the shark bit her hand and pulled her in the water. They rescued her, but I'm like, man, some people do some of the dumbest things. It's like, that's just adventure we don't need to adventure into, or venture into, if you will. Okay, side trip won't cost you anything. That was free. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So now, of course, the obvious comes up. Just like they of his day, we are like that too. What do you mean? Free. I'm free. I do what I want to, say what I want to, I go where I want to. You know, some people, they, the words that they say, I used to say those words, but I'm so glad Jesus cleaned me up. That's the first thing he delivered me from, was a mouth of profanity. I know believers still do it. Believers still drink and do drugs and stuff like that. Believers still fornicate and all that other stuff. Believers do a whole lot of stuff that we shouldn't be doing. And it's because we're not abiding in the word. That's the thing. We're not continuing in God's word. You have authorities in the kingdom of God, or supposedly in the kingdom of God. But remember, Satan can also appear to be an angel of light. So it is no big thing for his ministers to appear to be a minister or angel of light, if you will. So, you know, the church does stuff that we got delivered, saved from. And church people still do it. We're not supposed to be doing the same stuff we used to do. We're supposed to be inheriting and walking in the new stuff that comes, the truth. Truth sets us free, which means the stuff we were doing had us in bondage. It's not always having some physical oppressor over our lives and pushing and beating us down and abusing and mistreating us. Sometimes we do it to ourselves by an unregenerated mind and an evil heart of unbelief. And Jesus is still saying today to the church of the living God, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know my word. You shall know my word. You shall continue in my word. You shall abide in my word. You shall live by my word. You shall declare my word. And my word will make you free. They're like, we've never been in the bondage by anybody. We're Abraham's seed. I go to church. I pray. And you still act like an uncircumcised Philistine. Now, I'm not talking to anybody personally, so nobody walk out of here saying that. But if that's the kind of lifestyle that we're living, hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. There's a difference between a saved person and a non-saved person. And even if, like these, some of these Jews were talking to Jesus as if they were saved, Jesus is like, if you're saved, I would see some results. I would see some change. I would see a difference. But I don't see it. He said that to the religious leaders. He called them brood of vipers. That's generation of snakes. Oh, boy, what a compliment. Amen. I mean, Jesus just complimented. I feel like I'm 20 feet tall. He called me a brood. He called me a generation. He called me a viper, a snake. That's not a compliment. That's an insult. We think that we're something that we're not. Our speech may say one thing, but the character, which is the difference between a weos and a technon child. A technon child is just, you know, yeah, you repentant. Yeah, you said the prayer of salvation. Yeah, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but your character, your nature hasn't changed. And so you're a son by saying those words, but you're not a weos that represents the character and nature of God in the earth. Yeah. Well, it's too hard. That's what the devil will tell you. But God gives you his word, and he says his word makes you free. So the difficulty goes away because the shackles get broken off. Everything that's convincing me that I cannot do it gets broken off, and now I got faith to say I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Yeah. Stand to your feet. Excuse my animation. The founding fathers, which some and some universities try and talk about their faults and their blemishes, don't focus on their faults and their blemishes. Look at what these men were doing and what God entrusted to their care. They were only speaking for and representing 13 colonies. The population of that time, I don't know, I'm not sure. And we know the history of America, and as I put in that bulletin as well, you can read it for yourself. We have some stains on our lives as a nation. There were things that were done afterwards that were wrong. Slavery was wrong. Every man that is born should be born into liberty and freedom. But the bondages that we cannot break can only be broken by Christ. And that is that broken relationship that we have with the Father. Jesus comes in as the mediator and brings the two together. Hallelujah. And so, these men are writing documents. Well, they're writing the first great document, the Declaration of Independence. They're overseeing 13 colonies, and they're willing to risk their lives for their freedom. Unbeknownst to them how far this would go, but what they put in it, as well as the Constitution, was safeguards to prevent those of the nation at the time from going back to something that they knew God was bringing them out of, and to remain in something that God was bringing them into. Whether they knew this or not, writing for 13 colonies, it would eventually spread to 50 states, as well as other territories that we have rule in. Nevertheless, they were writing. And these men were not just average men, because these men saw in the future, they saw what they were delivered from, and they realized that if they didn't safeguard these documents, that what they came from and were set free from would once again emerge itself and try and bring the nation back under bondage. So we have the preamble to the Constitution. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. I don't have time to expound on it, but I would love to. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and here we go, secure the blessings of liberty. It's freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom from tyranny. Freedom from oppressors. Freedom from those who were abused and misused the people. They set in stone, they put in writing documents that would preserve, as it goes on to say, to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. Those were those words. And it goes on, of course, that's not everything, but just the preamble, and then here, this part of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths. Everybody say truths. Mm-hmm. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Well, some would say, well, they didn't mean everybody. But, well, if they didn't mean it, it's the way it is now. Hallelujah. Yeah. All men, because we see it from God's word, all men are created equal, that they are endowed, blessed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, freedom. Look at your neighbor and say, freedom. Freedom from oppression, freedom from tyranny, freedom from despotism, freedom from abuse. That's what they wanted. Freedom. Freedom to live. Freedom to prosper. The blessing of liberty. The blessing of freedom. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They say, well, that used to be the pursuit of chattel. Well, somebody put happiness in there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because slavery is over in this regard. There are other forms of slavery that go on in the world. One of the main ones is human trafficking, which needs to be dealt with. So freedom is not the liberty to just do anything you want. Freedom is the liberty to do what is right. This freedom sets you free from the things that would cause you to do wrong, so that you can do what is right. So that even as John says, and see how they came about with their language, beloved, I would above all else, now he's talking to Christians, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. This is why God sets us free. not to be angry and upset and fighting one another and bickering and hating each other for whatever reason. You know, there are women who hate men. There are men who hate women. Children hate each other. We hate each other because of our ethnicity. We hate each other because, you know, you're from that side of town, I'm from this side of town. We have gang violence going on. You have the Bloods, you have the Crips, you have the Reds, you have the Norteños, the Sereños, and you know how MS, is it MS or MS? MS-13? You have those, and they're killing each other over nothing. They don't understand the value of life. They're using their liberty to destroy. And your liberty was not meant to destroy. It's meant to build. Hallelujah. Amen. Give God praise. So keep in mind what our liberty is really all about and give God glory that you're not only free in the kingdom, but you're still free in this nation. Amen. They want to take away rights and liberties, but thank God. Speak up. Don't be silent. Don't be afraid of what they can do or what they will say. Stand for the truth. Truth makes you free. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for this time that we're about to have. We ask your blessing upon communion as we get ready to disperse it amongst the saints of God. Only one requirement, that is that you are saved. There's no other reason to partake. And if you are saved, then let's do it joyfully. None of us are worthy, but Christ has made us worthy through his blood. And the offering of his body. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts and prepare our minds, if there's anything there that is not pleasing to you, we ask your forgiveness, your cleansing. And we even repent for anything we would harbor in our hearts that would make us guilty in partaking of communion. The Spirit of God inspired Paul to say, for this reason, many are sick, many are weak, and many are asleep, meaning many die premature deaths because they're not partaking in a right manner. Father, today we want to receive strength. Hallelujah. We don't want to die. We want to live and declare your glory. We want you to be glorified. We don't want to be sick. We want to be healed and made whole through the precious blood of Jesus. And I pray for anybody and everybody that has sickness or pain in their body, that even as we commune today, commemorating what Jesus did for us on the cross, buried in that borrowed tomb, but on the third day he rose again to die no more. Remembering his victory, for his victory is our victory, and that we may receive what he has freely given unto us. So I pray for healing. You can begin to disperse abroad to the saints. I pray for healing to manifest in the sons and daughters of the Most High God's life. I pray for healing to manifest. I pray that curses be broken. I pray that eyes be open. I pray that ears that have been deaf begin to hear. I pray that sickness and disease will flee our body. Thank you. I receive that in Jesus' name. In obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus, I pray miracles will break out and break forth in Jesus' name. I pray the blessing of God over you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Christina, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but have you received Jesus as your Savior? You have? Amen. So glad. Thank you for coming to fellowship with us. Because if you said no, we would have simply did with you what we've done ourselves, and that would be to receive him as our Lord and Savior, to live for him. Hallelujah. Amen. So as communion is being shared, let's wait on one another till everyone is served, and then we will break bread together. And Father, I thank you for what's come in at the offering. Thank you. Thank you for those that gave out of faith, sow precious seed. They shall bring their sheaves with them. They shall bring their harvest with them. You give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Multiply their seed sown. Make provision for them. Give them a perpetual harvest, one that will remind them of the seed that they sowed today. Hallelujah. We give you thanks and praise. Has everyone been served? Sister Diana is taking care of it down there. Amen. Go, Sister Diana. Minister to the kids. Children are such a blessing. I love watching them when they get over here in this corner and start praising, because they're so free. It's like they, without a care in the world, they just dance. And they don't care who's watching. They just, you know, and it's like, wow, where do you get those moves from? It's awesome. Yeah. I don't know if you do that, but I like to do that. I like to watch them. So let them praise Jesus, because see, the religious people will be like this. No, 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 no. They're in the way. They're in the way. They're in the way. They're in the way. And Jesus be like, leave them alone. Let them come to me. Hallelujah. They're in their right mind. You're in your wrong mind. Praise God. Let them come to me, saith the Lord. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have perfected praise. So let them praise God. So anyways, we take the bread. Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity to break bread with my brothers and sisters in Christ. This bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus that was broken and suffered for us. As often as we eat of this bread, we are reminded of the victory we have in Jesus. His death, burial, and resurrection, as well as his ascension to your right hand, the place of power and honor. Jesus, thank you for your obedience. We now receive what you've done for us. For the bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ that was broken and suffered for us. Thank you, Jesus. Let's eat together. Amen. Likewise, let's take the cup and repeat this after me. Thank you, Father, for receiving the blood of Jesus that was shed for many for the remission of sins. As I drink of this cup, I speak these words over it. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. And I thank you that that blood speaks on my behalf before your holy throne. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink the cup together. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. Give God praise. Give him glory. We love you. For the month of July, we won't be having evening service, so evening glory will be canceled, and we won't be having evening prayer. That does not mean stop praying. By all means, pray without ceasing. It's just giving you this one summer month off so you can go and enjoy others on your Sunday evening, or you can relax at home. You might want to get out because it's getting hot And if you don't want one of those huge, humongous PG&E bills, I don't know about you, but I don't like giving PG&E all that money. Well, so whether you go to the mall, whether you go over to somebody else's house and use up their PG&E, hallelujah, praise God, find somebody that's got a good air conditioning working, and if they don't have a good one working, call Brother Joshua, see if he can get over there and fix that thing. Yeah. But enjoy this time. Enjoy your walk in relationship with Christ. Whatever you do in word and in deed, do all to the glory of the Father, giving thanks in Jesus' mighty name. We love you 1,000 times over. Life wouldn't be the same without you. And y'all better move before I keep on going. Praise God. Love you. Be blessed. Have a supernatural week. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the Lord be with you everywhere you go, ordering your steps, directing your path, guiding you with his eye into his good and acceptable and perfect will. And everybody who agrees, shout it, amen! Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Make sure you greet Christina. Thank her for coming. Love on her.